Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Tuesday, August 16th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice. On the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my experiences and relationship, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app. That app contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon and Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people will do that soon and often because it frequently leads to comments and questions, answers and testimonials, as well as the fact that our experience has been it dramatically improves the quality of people's lives when they actually apply those tools in their life. And if you have any of those comments or questions or answers or testimonials for us, you can call us at 563-999-3581. And when you call that number, if you press 1 on your phone, it will put a little icon of a hand by your phone number. I'll turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because, as Jeannie Rice says, that makes this your show and because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work, the intention with this work and all the time, intelligence, money, and energy that Michael and Jeannie Rice are putting into this is to be of service. And when you let us know what's going on in your life or how you're responding to the offering, sometimes, you know, day to day, sometimes hour by hour, it makes it far easier for us to tailor what we're doing to your needs in a way that is being of use. And this year we're working through the Way of Mastery, and yesterday we were working our way through our second reading of Lesson 18 in the Way of Mastery. And that lesson is calling us to awaken to the truth about how little we actually know about this life. And to learn to live in the question, as Rilke would call us to, and to practice exercises that help us become aware of how little we know and open ourselves to something other than the conscious logical mind, which in the Western world has been overburdened and tasked with doing basically every chore. And there is no one tool that can do everything. And the tool of the conscious logical mind is there for a set of reasons. It's very useful. And in its place, it helps us navigate the world. And yet, there are entire ranges of things and areas of our lives in which continued application of the conscious logical mind simply creates more upset, more division, more negative emotions, more distortion of perception. And our guidance system for that is our emotions. If we're feeling a negative emotion, chances are really good that we're misusing our conscious logical mind. And the best thing we can do when that happens is put a hold on it. Cancel everything that our conscious logical mind would tell us we need to pursue or have happen, and breathe and soften and ask to be shown a different way to look at our life, our relationships, our interactions with the world. And it's pretty much guaranteed that if we do that, things will start to go better, especially if it was initiated by us experiencing a negative emotional state. So as we're working through the way of mastery, we are reminded time and time again that just listening to these words or reading this book is not going to make a change in our lives. We have to engage the practices. We have to decide to, in some of the ways it talks about it, as it says, we have to learn to use time differently. And we have to usher ourselves into an experience that is not available through the conscious logical mind. And if we're willing to do that, we will start to explore, experience, and then we can explore an entire new way of being in the world and relating to people, relating to our life. And as the text says, we'll explore, we'll become aware of and be able to explore a way of being in the world without being of the world. We won't be driven by our thoughts. We'll be able to see the movement of our thoughts without being moved by them, without having the instantaneous thought be translated into an action, especially when the thought is derived from a myopic or a microscopic view of what's going on. We want to open our vision. We want to open our experience. We want to be more expansive. We want to be more inclusive. We want to be understanding that whatever our five senses can show us is only a tiny fraction of what's actually happening in our lives and in the world around us. And if we pretend that that's all there is and that we know what's going on, we just make a bigger and bigger mess for ourselves. Constantly a bigger mess. That's the using the conscious logical mind as the only tool and only resource is what David Bohm would call sustained incoherence. It's what Michael Rice has put in the worksheet process. And you know, it's born of the wisdom, and a number of different spiritual traditions understand this. It's born of the wisdom that the conscious logical mind is a very simple, limited tool. It has a very limited range of practical application in our lives, and we can understand that we've reached the limit of our conscious logical mind's practical application by tuning into our emotional state and understanding that as soon as we experience a negative emotional state, tightness or tension or constriction or any of the negative emotions, we can be well assured that we've just moved past the point where our conscious logical mind can be useful. And what's to do then? Breathe, soften, and let it flow through us, whatever it is that's happening. Breathe, soften, and let it flow. If you know how to use the EFT tapping, you go ahead and add the EFT tapping to breathing and softening and letting it flow. You can look at Robert Smith's faster EFT tapping, and he'll say, breathe, feel it fully, allow it to be in your system, tune into it, allow it, accept it, and release it and let it flow. Breathe, feel it, and let it flow. Let it go. Just let it go. And when we do that, we let go of the thoughts that are so certain of themselves and so much the foundation of our egoic mind, it leaves a clean and open space where something else can come to our awareness. So we're reading Lesson 18 in the Way of Mastery, and in the big blue book that I have the version of, it's page 227. The last segment of this Lesson 18 is titled, The Question That Will Determine Your Tomorrows. And the text reads, we close this lesson with a question for you to answer for yourself. Not to discuss, not to analyze, not to ruminate over, but to merely sit in what appears to be your private realm and ponder the answer. The text goes on and says, for unless it is answered, there can be no movement. How it is answered will determine your tomorrows. And you're going to have an infinite number of tomorrows, by the way. You as a consciousness, you as a spiritual being, will never die. You were never born as such, and you'll never die. You're infinite and eternal. You shine forth as a sunbeam to the sun. You are the effect of the Creator's extension of creative energy in form, and you're here to bless creation. So the question is simply this. Quote, do you recognize that you have already been everywhere and every when in the illusion of separation? Would you be willing right now in the quiet privacy of your own heart and mind to use the power of awareness that's been given unto you to decide to be love, to decide to awaken consciously to your true nature as the energy of creation expressing in form? Close quotes. The text goes on and says, some of you will have just felt a feeling of fear come up. Some of you will feel a sudden thought rushing through your awareness. A thought like, oh, this is a bunch of nonsense. And if you give the power of fear reality for you, you will have effectively delayed the answering of the question. If you listen to the thought that says, this is nonsense, you'll have done the same thing. But the only thing you will have done is this, and please listen carefully. You will only have delayed a moment that will not be forsaken. The moment of your awakening is happening. You will have only delayed the inevitable. For your journey home has long since begun. And once that journey begins, rest assured, the end is certain. Push against it as you will, like a gnat shouting at the universe, my will be done, not the Creator's. It's not. That's the part that's nonsense. You thinking you know what's going on in the world is nonsense. Love, creation, the flow of life, merely waits on your welcome. Choose then, beloved friends, to embrace the only answers those questions can have, for those answers are truth based on what is real. With your embracing of what is real, what is actual, the moment of your liberation is at hand. And Christ descends gently to begin to make it its home where once the illusion of separation seemed to reign. The end is always a thought away. Liberation, a simple choice. The way is easy and without effort. It rests in the power to decide. We love you and we are with you always. We will never, ever, ever contract from any experience or thought that you choose. For it is our delight to extend the good, the holy, and the beautiful. Can this be anything but love being extended through the creation? That's you, the holy offspring of the Creator. Beautiful you are, radiant you are, innocent you are, powerful you are, eternal you are, free you are, loved are you. We cherish you now and forever. Practice well and enjoy the next 30 days. Be you therefore at peace, beloved friends. Amen. I read earlier in lesson 17 or 18, the five words that for me are basically the shortcut summary of this entire work. Five words, and if you understand the depth of those five words, you don't need to read the rest of the book. What are those five words? The choice is always yours. What choice is that? The choice of the focus of your conscious awareness. You have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each new present moment. And it is the focus of your conscious awareness in each new present moment which creates your experience of life. And that choice is always yours. You can choose to take offense, but as it came to me to say a while back, please don't take offense, even if it's offered. Even if someone comes up to you deliberately trying to create the response of offense in you, they throw name-calling or insults or swearing at you, or they take some physical property of yours that you're so attached to. Please don't take offense, even if it's offered. You have the capacity to interpret everything that goes on neutrally. You have the capacity to wake up to how powerfully and dynamically you create the meaning in your life for you of everything that happens. We've got a lesson that we read through, I believe it's lesson 9 in this work, that says all events are neutral. All events are neutral. It goes on to explain your thoughts about them are not neutral, because your thoughts about the events in life are the dynamic that creates your experience. Your thoughts and the mind energy you pour into them create your emotions. Your thoughts and the mind energy you pour into them create your meaning, your purpose given to each and every neutral flow of life events in, through, as, and around you. The core of this work, the core of the reality management worksheet, is the recognition that what we do with our mind energy, and again, we're free to use that mind energy any way we so desire, but our mind energy, our conscious, logical, intellect processing is just one aspect of what we've been given. We have awareness. We have innocence. We have the good, the holy, and the beautiful. We have the ability to tap into the flow of life and energy in other ways than the thoughts we have about it. Some would say we have a brain in the head, a brain in the heart, and a brain in the gut. Some people would say you are an energy system within an energy system within an energy system. And learning to attune your energy to the highest and best of everyone and everything around you is the way to attune, align yourself with the highest and best in yourself and to elevate or change your experience of life to something that's highly preferable to the experience you get when you compare and contrast and judge and label. Dr. Michael Rice and his Kabor's manuscript team of translators of the ancient Aramaic let us know that in ancient Aramaic, the word for humility doesn't mean that you grovel in the dirt and pretend that you're lower than somebody. That word humility means the ability to look for and see the highest and best in another person, another situation, and then choose to cooperate only with that. So that even if someone is coming at you, spitting angry, name-calling, yelling, etc., you see the being of brilliance and light in front of you who is just like you. And in each new present moment, every being, every spark of the one mind is either extending that awareness of their true nature, the energy of love, the energy of creation, the energy of respect, the energy of nurturance and support, or they're doing behaviors that could be interpreted by you as a cry for help and healing. They're doing behaviors that could be speaking to you about the fact that they have yet to discover their brilliance or they've temporarily forgotten it. And yet their true nature is the same as yours, since all there is the flow of creation. That means everything and everyone is a part of the flow. All minds are joined. We've read that several times in the first 18 lessons in the Way of Mastery. All minds are joined. So, any thought that any human being has ever had might pop up in your mind. And if it's a negative thought, please remember one of my favorite bumper stickers. The bumper sticker read, "Don't believe everything ... you think." Don't believe everything you think. There's that movie, kind of a cult classic movie, Dogma was the title of the movie, and in it, the archangel, Gabriel or Michael or whatever, had a line where he said, look, don't have a belief. Have a thought. You can change your thoughts. Have a thought, but don't have a belief. They're too hard to change. They cause a lot of problems. They keep you stuck. It's the wisdom of the ages coming out in a relatively modern movie with Chris Rock and Alanis Morissette and these other star, well-known celebrities. in this weird movie about how God is addicted to playing pinball and gets hoodwinked by the devil and stuck in a coma and life support and in physical form. And it's kind of a weird, funny, sometimes violent movie, but nuggets of actual spiritual wisdom are woven through it. Don't believe everything you think. When you've got a negative thought, look at it with childlike curiosity. Take a breath, turn the focus inside yourself, slow the exhale down, so you give the physical energy system that you call a body the signal that this is not anything I have to go into fight or flight over. This is nothing I have to get tight or tense about. This is just the movement of energy through the field of awareness I call my mind. And if I don't like what's in it now, just wait a few moments or a few seconds. It'll be gone and something else will take its place. And if I don't like it and the same negative thoughts keeps coming back, I can look at it with childlike curiosity and ask, gee, where's this coming from? How am I doing this? How is it that I'm pouring enough of my mind energy into these negative thoughts that I'm actually creating the energetic experience of a negative emotion? And if I'm willing to do that, willing to question that and stay in that questioning mode without demanding an answer, I will start to be shown life experience, energies, insights, intuitions that I cannot get with my conscious logical mind. They're just not available. So we are encouraging ourselves and each other to remember that childlike innocence and curiosity, that questioning that comes from breathing and softening and opening and allowing. In Lesson 5 in this work, The Way of Mastery, it offers the five keys to the kingdom. And the five keys to the kingdom are clearly 180 degrees off of what most of us have been taught in our school system and in our families and in our culture. Because our school system teaches us to figure out the answer, to know the answer and be able to recite it back with concise, precise language. But great spiritual teachings, great philosophers have known for hundreds, if not thousands of years, that it's far more useful to stay in the open, allowing, questioning space and understand that whatever it is I think I know is, since I don't know everything, and that's just an observation I can make, a very simple, direct observation, I don't know everything. Even within the realm of what we would call academic or scientific knowledge, you know, I've got some levels of years of expertise, 48 years of doing therapy, so I know a few things about therapy, but on a regular basis, as I network and reach out to people, I have people say, well, do you know about this book? And I say, no, I never heard about that book or that author. Oh, have you heard about this therapy technique? Nope, I'm unfamiliar with that. That's after 48 years of study. I still haven't, and I'll never catch up because people are doing new things all the time, slight variations on old themes, whole new, fundamentally different approaches. And that's just within the field of study that I've been involved in for 48 years. What about all these other fields of study that I haven't pursued? Particle physics, astronomy, chemistry. So I can directly observe, I don't know everything. And so if I go into every situation, every next moment in my life with that observation, I don't know everything, I can understand that by definition, whatever it is I think I know is only partially true and perhaps even completely false. When I go into a situation with that observation, those two observations active, now I've created the prerequisite for learning, for growth, for having an experience that expands my awareness. And it begins with questioning. It begins with the recognition of what is. It begins with softening. It begins with dismantling the false belief that I know. Puts me in that open allowing space where I can have an entirely different experience of life. And I understand, I've had the experience myself, and I could certainly understand those listening that might say, well, that's bizarre, that's weird, that feels scary, that feels completely out of whack. I get it. I've experienced it myself. I've also experienced that the more I work at getting willing to feel the discomfort that comes with that shift in perspective, that shift to questioning everything, the more I work to become willing to feel the discomfort and pursue it anyway, the better my life gets. So we're encouraging people to do just that. Improve the quality of your life by learning to live in the question. Learning to see the truth of life rather than see over and over again the beliefs you've manufactured about it. So we have plenty of time for comments, questions, answers, testimonials. We've just finished the second read-through of Lesson 18. Give us a call at 563-999-3581, or if you're in the chat room and you'd like to type in a question, feel free to do that. 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, I will see the icon of a hand by your phone number, and I will turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. I have a number of people that I've been dealing with in just the past week or two where this ability to question seems threatening, because they've been so thoroughly conditioned to the idea of knowing. We even ran into this particular little chunk of wisdom with David White in his last talk, where he was referencing the idea that in our schools, we only reward people for having the right answer, and sometimes we actually punish people for not having a simple pat answer to whatever the issue is. And he points out how unhealthy and unproductive that is, and how it's led to most of the difficulties in our culture, because we're not using anything other than the strictures of logic, and as the Way of Mastery would say, the trivialities which have been shoved into our intellect, because that's what our teaching, our teachers, our school system has continually drummed into us is the only thing of value. Not only is it the only thing of value, but anything else might get us punished. So we have this conditioned process to try and figure out the answer and make sure that it fits into some series of statements that's easy to repeat and codify and teach to other people, and or get into knockdown, drag out arguments with other people about who's right and who's wrong related to this set of words that I'm interpreting as an answer to this problem. I routinely encourage people in my therapy sessions to stop trying to figure it out. I was just having this conversation with someone earlier today because they were trying to they weren't trying. They were very frustrated because they couldn't figure out what would be going through the mind of a man when he would hurt his own children. And my strong recommendation to this person was, don't try to figure that out. It's a blessing that you can't even begin to comprehend that mind in another person. Take a step back, breathe and soften, send them loving energy and blessing, and move on. Spend your time trying to figure out how could someone do this to their children, because you'll never know. And they're thanking. I want you to be thankful that you'll never know, because you can't even imagine doing something like that to your children. The other thing that's been a theme lately is people are getting flooded with negative emotions. And these are people that are anywhere from their 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s in my caseload. And they're getting flooded with negative emotions. And I'm working diligently to try and help them question and understand what's the essence. How is it that that's happening? What's the mechanism within them that is creating this? And there's a hint in the bottom line observations where it says that I'm never upset about what's happening in the moment. Right? If I have a negative thought about myself or somebody else, or a negative emotion active in my mind, I can instantly know three things. The first one is it's a lie or it's based in a falsehood. The second one is this is an old tape playing in my mind. This is not about what's going on in the present moment. And I get a lot of pushback on that from people. I'm upset because he or she just did that. I'm upset because my mom has cancer. I'm upset because my son is acting out. I'm upset because dot, dot, dot. And I try to use examples to help people set themselves up to begin to observe this in their own lives. One of the examples I use is if I'm standing on a street corner and all of a sudden there is a car crash right in front of me. And everything was fine, and then moments later there's bent metal and broken glass and bloody bodies. And if my response is a negative emotion, I'm horrified or whatever, that's an old pattern. That's a thought pattern. That's a trauma energy resonating in me. It's not about the present moment. And people think I'm crazy when I say that. But I go further and I say, just notice this. When you're there and you're a competent adult, if the truth of the moment is apparent to you and you let it act on you, you take action. If you're trained in CPR, if you're trained in logistics, if you're, you know, a linebacker for a football team in the pros, and you can lift a car by yourself and you can help people out, you just start taking action. And it flows, and there's no negative emotion, and there's no anger at the person that ran the red light to have, you know, to cause the accident. It's just about the flow of life. And if you let the flow of life act on you, your life starts getting better. And in that moment, you're more of a use and a blessing to everyone and everything around you. But if the car accident happens in front of you and you're filled with rage because you saw somebody run the red light and now hear these wounded people, and it's because you're having a flashback to a time in your past where somebody ran a red light, maybe when you were in high school, and they seriously injured one of your best friends or your family member, and you're raging because of the past. In the present moment, rage is not a useful response when there are people who need assistance. And whether it's calling 911 or telling somebody else to call 911 while you and several other people, pry open a door to get somebody out of the car that might be on fire, or, apply pressure to a wound, all of that stuff happens far more quickly, efficiently, and productively when there's no negative emotion clouding the view, interrupting the process within the people around who have the capacity to act in their best interests and the best interests of everyone around them. If I have a negative thought active in my mind or a negative emotion active in my mind-body energy system, I can instantly know three things. The first one is, this is not about the truth. This is a lie. This is based on a falsehood. And the second thing is, I can instantly know this is an old tape playing. It's not about the present moment situation. And especially if the present moment situation is serious, it's dire for some people, I want to be awake and aware of all the various factors in the present moment. I don't want to be trying to live my life from the past when the truth of life in front of me could use my skill sets, could use my understanding of life, my physical strength, my training in CPR, my logistics expertise. I want to be acting in the moment from my highest and best for the highest and best of everyone around me. And if I stay in that mode, if I stay awake and aware in the present moment, everything will go better. So, 563-999-3581. Call that number. Press 1. We can have a conversation. We've got about 16 or 17 minutes left. How can we support you? We have one person in the chat room. We have quite a few people on the switchboard. Area code 541, you're in the air. Is this Celinda?
Yes, it is.
Welcome.
I'm calling in to tell you of an experience I had yesterday morning when I first woke up. And all of a sudden my brain just, or my mind, whatever, just started doing the verses, like in my poem that I sent to you, doing these 8 syllable verses, 2 lines. And it just was coming out of my mouth, and I couldn't even write it down because I had just woken up, and it just kept flowing. And the result was the state of just pure joy. Of course, the first thing I thought is, oh, my God, I should write these down. But then I just let it go because I don't even remember what I said now. But I've never lived in a real state of essential joy ever in all my life. And I just felt like a little kid. I just wanted to share that with you. That was pretty awesome for me.
Well, congratulations. I have the words of people like Dr. Michael Rice and Guy Finley echoing in my head, saying things like, that's your birthright, that pure joy state, that allowance, surrender, that pure joy state is your birthright. And what's happened is many, many generations of errant thinking and shoulds and family patterns from trauma that have been layered over your life experience and are creating something less than that. So I would assume that with whatever's been happening with your readings and studying and way of mastery and other things, that you're moving yourself into the space where you're opening to allow something better or different to become your experience. So congratulations. I just had a question typed in the chat room from someone who said, my question is this, if someone is spreading rumors or saying things that are untrue, is it up to me to set the record straight or just ignore it? And my answer for that is, it begins with, I don't have any idea what you should do in a situation like that. But I can say that I know that a lot of different situations in my life and different qualifiers would have to come into play. So are they saying something that's untrue about me? If it's something that's untrue about me, one of the best things from the great minds I've heard about that is the very best way to act when someone is telling lies about you is to act in a way that you demonstrate that they're not telling the truth. In other words, you just live your life in integrity and without getting into the slander and libel and naysaying back and forth. You just live your life in the truth and let anybody else who has the eyes to see and the ears to hear see you living your best and highest nature. So then the question becomes, well, is this a question about, I know someone is saying something that's untrue about someone else or about a really important situation within the city council or within the state where I live? Then the answer for me would depend upon what level of involvement do I have? What level of proof do I have to demonstrate otherwise? And all those complex factors would come into play, including what are my resources in the moment? How well am I doing living a balanced life? How much energy do I have feeding my core understanding that I am whole and safe and that my true nature is safe and always will be? And if I'm living in the moment from that highest and best, and I'm living a balanced life, and I've got plenty of energy, and I have access to the proof that what so-and-so is saying is not true, then I might choose to act on it to put the proof out there. But it would be in such a way as I'm not attached to the outcome. Because when I become attached to an outcome that's specific in one direction or another, then when the flow of life goes in another direction, I create the upset that we call hurt or offense or negative emotions, and I end up convincing myself that I'm only feeling those negative emotions because life isn't going the way I want it to. And that's what we observe in this work, is the mechanism that we use to create our upset. And that's what we're trying to help people observe and clarify for themselves. I will never experience an upset that I'm not creating in myself in the moment. So that's my first level of response for the question, if someone is spreading rumors or saying things that are untrue, is it up to me to set the record straight or just ignore it? So we'll just breathe into that and see if there's a response from the person in the chat room. Was there more you were going to offer, Celinda? If there is, your mute button's on. And if there's not, and maybe there's a technical glitch. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and or you can type your comment or response in the chat room. We've got about 8 or 9 minutes left. Hopefully, Jeannie will be here to have the passing of the baton for our second hour. And we're welcoming comments or questions on what we've been just been talking about or anything else that's been happening in the last 11-plus years on this Internet show. The first 8 years, it was 1 hour a day, 5 days a week, and for the last 3.5, it's been 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. Again, access to those files are available in the archives, and you can access those through the whyagain.org website, and you can access some of them through the mindshiftersacademy.org website. Are you back, Celinda?
Yes, I am. I had I was mute challenged. I put the mute button on because the motorhome is so tiny, and I didn't want to disturb you in case there was background noise. So are you there?
Yes.
Oh, good. I just wanted to tell you that I was complete, that I just wanted to share my joy.
Well, congratulations, and thank you for letting us know that, and keep up whatever it is that's working for you.
And, I certainly will.
All right.
And most
blessings.
Of it is revolving around the radio shows, Tim.
Most of what is revolving around the radio shows?
My what's making a change in me. I just listen over and over and over again. You know, I just have made a commitment that this is my work, is to get to the radio shows, yours specifically, but whenever I can get into with my other duties, I get into both shows, just listening. And it seems to be sinking down deep, wonderful rain on a parched soul.
Well, I hold that's true, and glad you're on the team, and I'll mute you so you can listen to the rest of the comments and questions. Blessings. So we have the response from the person in the chat room was, so basically ignore it because it's about me. And the comment that I would have with that is, ignoring it leaves out the response of making sure that I'm actively acting in a way that's demonstrating my truth and what I believe is right, and communicating effectively to people what I think is acceptable and not acceptable. So I'm acting in a way that demonstrates that I am honest, that I am upright, that I do live according to my values, and I walk the walk. I don't just talk the talk. Area code 610, is this Susan?
Hi, Dr. Tim. I was envying Celinda because I've been trying to reroute my responses and ways of thinking, ways of feeling, and so forth and so on. And I know that we always say nothing outside of me can cause anything that's happening inside. But there is a lot happening outside, and I'm not in that place where I wake up in joy in the morning. I usually wake up pretty worried about things, and then use the tools as best I can, but I feel as if Celinda has just had an experience of sailing in open water, and I haven't gotten there yet, and I hope to get there, and it seems as if my thought patterns are pretty deeply rutted, and I don't know what else to say about that, but Well, maybe I shouldn't have even pushed one because I don't have a real question. It's just, I guess I'm saying for me it's pretty hard to find
that. When you say your thought patterns are pretty deeply rooted, another way to talk about that is there's a lot of momentum in your mind for these negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, part of the talk earlier today is so useful. So often we're taught to shift into that childlike curiosity,
mm-hmm.
even for the negative thoughts, even for the negative emotional experiences, even for the life events that our mind is telling us, this is bad, this is wrong, this shouldn't happen, this is abusive, this is catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely useful every time to shift into that childlike curiosity, even for the most negative, in our estimation, interpretations that we come up with. And then we understand, the more we do it, the more we shift over and over and over again, we shift our perspective and we realize, oh, that's self-induced nonsense. That's the acronym for sin. I keep playing this negative thought and I keep telling myself it's real and it's bad and it shouldn't be happening. And every time I do that, I strengthen the momentum of the negativity in my life. And I say, mm-hmm. I want more positive. Isn't that interesting? I wonder what I might do differently. I wonder how I might become aware more immediately, moment to moment, of the ways in which I'm doing this negativity. Just try to continue to bring your awareness back to your ability to shift into that childlike curiosity. As Abraham Hicks would say, don't try and jump out in front of the moving car that's rolling at, you know, 60 miles an hour. Just recognize it's got a lot of momentum behind it, and now is not a good time to jump out in front of it. But do the things that you can do to slow the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's in my pattern, this negative momentum that's going, maybe I should take a nap. Maybe mm-hmm. I should try and shift into that childlike curiosity. Maybe I can do, you know, what Michael Rice would say in his intensives, all of the above. Let me do a worksheet. Let me cancel the goals I have. Let me do some EFT tapping. Let me do some breath work. Let me do some journaling. All of these tools that are available on whyagain.org. Let me breathe, soften, and release the attachment I have to how I know this is bad, this is wrong, this shouldn't be happening. And as I release my attachment to that knowing I'm right and the flow of life is wrong or someone else is wrong, I slow the momentum. I soften mm-hmm. and I allow a shift to happen that doesn't happen through my conscious logical mind.
Mm. Oh, good. Thanks.
That's one of the bottom line observation says that my greatest strengths will at times be my greatest weaknesses, my greatest assets at times my greatest liabilities. Well, you happen to be a decidedly above average intellectual capacity person. And you keep going to that strength of the intellectual capacity in these areas where that becomes a liability.
Mm-hmm.
You need to put the conscious logical mind on the shelf for now. Maybe it'd be a good thing for you to do, just even if you're not doing a worksheet, go to the mindshiftersacademy.org website, the educational materials page, and click on the audio link of me reading that forgiveness pattern. I cancel mm-hmm. my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself.
That's a big one.
Put my conscious logical mind on the shelf for now, and I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating this upset. Maybe that would help you slow the momentum if you listened to that audio recording sometimes.
Okay. Good. All good. I took notes. All stuff that should be in there and fixed well. But boy, it's good to hear it again. Thanks, Dr. Tim.
You're very welcome and deserving. I will mute you so you can listen to the second hour. Thank you for the call. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, the energy of creation expressing in form. Everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Good conversation. Thank you.
You're welcome and deserving. Have a great show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio, and today is Tuesday, August the 16th, 2022, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. And Michael's with us, but I want to just add one thing to Susan. One of the things that came up during Saturday's Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing this past Saturday. I gave the example of my dad's farm. You know, the cows have 200 acres that they can walk through, and yet when they go from one field to the other, they go this same path, and they do it so often and following each other close behind, and so they've actually worn a path in the ground through the pasture field. And now they could go anywhere. They could walk anywhere they want to, but they have gone this same path so often that they just continue to go through it again and again and again. And it's the same with our brains and the, you know, synapses and the neurons, whatever's the connections and everything. We kind of go through the same pattern so many times that there's like this direct connection that when this one fires, that one fires. And they just automatically go together without even thinking about it. And it's kind of like those cattle wearing that path. And it really would take a challenge to get them to go another path or to walk a different way or to get out of that path. And it's the same with us when we're dealing with things that we have repeated through our life. It's a challenge sometimes to make ourselves go in a different direction. I hope that makes sense. Hope that helps.
It does. So welcome. Yeah. It does. Thanks, Jeannie.
You're welcome. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome. How are you, young lady?
Oh, I'll turn her back on now. I had actually muted her, but I'll turn her back on.
Okay.
Really interesting thing that happened yesterday, which leaves me with a ton of questions. I did what you said right away. I went right to talking to Jacob in my head, as you know. Thanks for the call after. And I did one this morning. But yesterday afternoon, Tim and I were out on a walk. And for the first time since Jacob had been so angry with us, he called me up. And what was available was all the love in my heart. It's like I didn't remember the brutality and the bullying and the witch words and the ugly words. I just said, Boone, I'm so glad to hear from you. It's great to hear your voice. How are you doing? And it was as if, and this is a part which I'm curious about, if not nervous about, he was like a different person. He was calm. He was appreciative. He was methodical in his thinking, soft-spoken. It's as if somebody came back. Either that, or I know his father has the capacity to present himself as the most bright, charming man. And people are often surprised when they hear that there's been trouble at home. There were people who were surprised that my daughter had to leave the marriage. What? You know, what? We haven't seen any of that. But so I was thinking, is this kid just putting on putting on the other mask because you know it's going to get him. I mean, he wanted us to help pay for an apartment, to pay for an apartment for him. He wanted this and that and the other. But he was gentle about it. And I thought, could this have opened up partly because I had those thoughts in my mind to him during the day? And I really thought you had at least prepared me to hear from him, if not prepared us to speak by making that suggestion.
Well, there's a whole section in Laws of Living that we dedicate to recognizing this law of resonance. And, you know, one of the thoughts that reflects that in the worksheet is the thought that says, when I choose love, it wakes up the love in everyone. Literally,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's resonance. And the same thing happens on the negative angle. If I'm in some form of hostility or fear in somebody's drown, it will tend to resonate hostility and fear in others. And so my take is, you know, one of the words that was used a little while back on the show was tough love. And for me, tough love is an oxymoron. Love is the presence of being that you were able to exhibit with him on the phone. And it will tend to bring forward the same in others, although sometimes it will also open up the healing process and others, put them in a healing process, and that means their hostility and fear is going to come out. But, you know, for me, when I recognize I might have to choose love once every or 10 times every 20 seconds because of what's going on in me in order to be that space. And the more I can be that space, the more I can rely on others coming back from that same space. Does that mean they're going to do it 100% of the time? No. If they're in a healing crisis, you know, if stuff's up for them, they're going to do what they do.
Yeah.
But I win whatever they do. I win if I soften my physiology, remove everything in me that can respond with hostility and fear, and present in my physiology as love, and therefore present as love with others.
Now,
Judge Kelly, you've heard me speak of him several times. He was a Superior Court judge in Albany, Georgia, and he put thousands of people in prison, and the man never punished one of them. It just was not in him to punish. He was protecting his community. And, you know, he showed up as conscious love, and he gave people options, and a lot of them he put in prison lovingly. Protect them, protect the community.
Yeah, I like that.
So love doesn't necessarily have to show up on the outside in a particular way. When someone's in that soft, open, connected space in active, present love, for the security and safety of another, I might make the phone call that puts them in prison.
Right.
But it's never tough. I just don't. That's, to me, an oxymoron.
Well, maybe it should be.
And my job is to keep showing up and keep processing what I need to process.
Right. So true. Well, the session yesterday with you bore a ton of fruit for me. I hope it did for Jacob, too. But I felt so much better, healthier, stronger afterwards. And then to get that phone call seemed miraculous. And, of course, part of my mind is saying, watch out. It's just playing his game. But I'll take it. I'll even take, you know, if it's an act he needs to learn until he really gets it and gets into it. But just for plans, I'm planning to stay here when he comes back. I took his car into Jiffy Lube and had the tires rotated and the filters looked at and the windshield wipers replaced and put gas in and changed the oil and all this stuff that Tough Love Al-Anon would say, have him do it. He's capable of doing it. And it would help him if he had done it. But I'm doing it for me because he's coming home late one day and he should be able to just get up, we'll load up his car, and he goes. And Tim wanted to give him an extra day here so he could do those chores. And I I want him to get going on his life and have not have two nights here. So anyway, I cleaned his car inside, washed everything. It felt so good to do that. And I don't know if that's love for him or love for me or love for both. Whatever it is, it was the right thing to do for right now. But it was all because of the talk yesterday on the radio show. Yay!
Well, it was all because you were willing to do your work. And remember, so many times and so many layers. And as time goes on, the layers get subtler and subtler, subtler that we can convince mm-hmm. ourselves that we're feeling this because of what's happening out there.
Mm-hmm.
And never in anyone's life has anyone ever felt this because of what was happening out there. I don't care whether it was peace or war. They weren't feeling what was going on inside of them because of what was happening outside of them. They were feeling what was going on inside them because it was inside of them to feel. Had a conversation with somebody on Facebook this morning who's very much in the right-wing, you know, hostility game. Biden is a pedophile. He did this racist thing of putting and sexist thing of putting this woman, black woman, on the Supreme Court. You know, it's just like and from there the conversation. I haven't seen a response from yet. The conversation, what I offered was, well, that's a reality. Your mind is outputting a reality for you, based on not what Biden did with Brown, but what that resonated in you. And I understand that. That's one valid reality. And let me tell you, let me share the brain cells that my reality come from. My reality is we have a thing called representative government. And that means that everybody gets representation. And there's one particular group that hasn't been represented in 200 years of insanity. In fact, the reverse has been done. What's been done to women, what's been done to blacks has been atrocious. So my brain cells generate for me a reality that says, wow, congratulations. This is representative government. Now there's a representative on the Supreme Court, but there's never been a black woman before. She represents a portion of the population, about 11%, actually. I think it's about 6%. And it's like, wow, how cool is that? Now, that's my reality, and often that's a valid one. Which one do you want to function from, you know? And it's that way with every circumstance and every situation. First order of business, Yeshua says, everything you do depends on, is Rachma active in you? Do you have access? Do you have a gateway open for love to show up in your physiology? And, of course, the mind will tell us 1,000 stories about why there isn't love in my physiology today, and it's all your fault. But sooner or later, I got to start acknowledging, oh, here's the next piece of work I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you did it, and that's awesome. You know, it's like another advance for the world, for humanity and humanity. Is that a word? Humanity? In order to be fair and balanced?
Michael, you know, that was really good on Facebook that you were answering in that way. I just had handed to you because you didn't go into fear and rage and all this stuff. You stayed centered in your loving stance. Man, that's wonderful. I'd be curious about what this person answers. But good going in any case, whatever the answer. Yeah.
Well, for me, it's an invitation to step into at least recognizing there's more than one reality possible here. So what do we do if we change it? What if we do if we shift what we're looking through?
Yeah. You know, Michael, I have a good friend whose daughter is 27, living at home and doing what Jacob has been doing to us, but more intensely for longer, and she's living right under the same roof as her parents. And I've been passing on what you've been saying to me, particularly widen the active presence love, but also take care of yourself. I mean, I suggested she look for a living situation outside the house, like a halfway house for mental health inmates, problems, people with mental health problems to give themselves some respite. But so often when I feel as if I've reached the absolute end of my understanding and strength, there are words, mind energies, that come in that help again. The Mind Shifter was great. 5 worksheets. Just it's good that you're doing this absolutely essential work. You're one of the essential workers. I didn't realize that.
On we go. Onward and upward.
Yeah.
So breathing with you and opening the space.
Thanks.
You are welcome and deserving. And it's most delightful to work with you. The difference you're making in the world energetically, what you're breaking through is just fabulous.
Where are you guys going to the beach? You said you're going to the beach. What beach?
We're going to, where's the ARE?
Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach.
You have a house there?
No, we've got a timeshare. It was the only place we could find a timeshare for that time frame, and it's the same week that the kids are taking Aria and heading to Florida.
Oh, nice.
So.
Oh, yeah, I wondered about that. Okay, but you say yeah. You're doing the radio show, right? You're still doing the radio show
actually,
on those days?
Actually, no. We talked about it last night, and I said it would be really nice just to not have to plan the day around the hour. And so we're actually doing Aramaicism next week. It's the 4 hours,
video.
So it'll be an hour each day with Michael and Dale Allen Hoffman talking about Aramaic words and things like that. And then I left it up to Dr. Tim on the fifth day to either play an interview that he did with Dale Allen Hoffman or to play the first one of the Beatitudes. So next week will be all about Aramaicisms.
Oh, great. Well, great for you. And it's good stuff for us, but I'm so glad you're just clearing the decks for a while.
This is actually the first time in 5 years that Michael and I have taken a vacation with no agenda. You know, we've taken time and visited family or taken time and had dad with us, you know, or something. But this will be the first time in 5 years it's just me and Michael without an agenda. So it's like I'm so excited.
That's great.
Jeannie
that's
and I and
great.
The beach, actually. The three of us are going.
Yes.
The beach is a really important part of it.
We're considering. I've actually looked into it, but Edgar Cayce's research center is there at Virginia Beach. So
A-R-E.
We may do a visit over there.
Wow, Edgar Cayce. Wow.
Yeah.
Full reports requested when you get back.
All right. And we do have
sure.
two more hands up.
Yeah, and I'm done, so go ahead.
All right, young lady. Have a blessed one. Lots of love.
Thanks. Too.
And the, you know, the 4 hour, you know, this is a workshop that Dale Allen Hoffman and I did probably about 5 or 6 years ago now in Asheville. It was a 4 hour video that we normally sell. And so Jeannie went through all, when we decided to do something, she had the idea to do this. So she went through all the work of converting the video to an MP4 video, then taking the audio track off the MP4 video. So there'll be that whole 4 hour workshop complete. So it should be a good series of sessions for everybody. Cool. So you've got a hand, Miss Jeannie.
I do. And the first one, I believe, is Miss Selinda. It's 541. You're on the air.
Yes, it is.
Welcome, dear heart. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm waiting for you to greet Jeannie with young lady on the phone like you do the rest of us. I bet you have, and I've missed it, but I'm waiting for when I get to hear it. I think that's so cool.
Well, I usually get a little closer with Dear Heart with her.
Aha, there you go. Gotcha.
She is clearly the dearest and most wondrous thing that's ever happened in my life. So,
and isn't it sweet
I am
that
blessed.
You get to enjoy each other totally without any agendas for this next week? I'm proud of you both.
That's the plan. Well, we do have an agenda. Sun and beach time. Although it's
there
looking like
go.
There's going to be some rain, so we're taking some books to read.
Or a walk along the beach in the rain.
Yeah, you know, we may do that too. We probably will. I was actually just out in the garden working in the rain. I was just crunching up. We're cleaning the garden out to get ready to travel. All the vines that have grown up and all of that. So Jeannie cleaned those all out yesterday while I was away and over the weekend. And so now I've got the mulching machine and I'm mulching off. Oh, geez. A pile of vines, probably 15 feet by 4 feet by 3 feet, and mulching them to get them ready for compost.
What's the mulching machine?
Well, actually, it's a chipper. I've got like a tripper shredder that you use for doing branches, and I'm doing all these heavy green vines, putting them through, so I've got a green kind of mush to go on top of the compost pile so that it accelerates the composting process, yeah. And I'm doing sticks in the, you know, pieces of tree branches at the same time, so it's mixing wood chips in with it. And so
okay.
That was what I was doing out in the rain, sweating, sunshine, rain, the whole works.
Sounds like a purification ritual. Yes, Jeannie.
Since you are always sending Aria little gifts and things, just to let you know, Sunday the 21st, while we're all gone, is her fourth time around the sun.
Oh, the 21st? Wonderful.
Yeah, that's her birthday.
I'll send her a little card, and she can receive it when you all return. How sweet.
That'd be great.
I'll get the cutest little card I can find.
She's,
cool. Well,
every time that something comes in the mail, it doesn't matter if it's a bill or if it's a package, she always says, well, is it for me?
And it was her birthday, her eternal day celebration that set the date for us to take this vacation. And she and her mom and dad are heading to Florida, so that frees us up with dad not living here now. That frees us up to be able to take this week.
Yes, I really relate to that. I received the books. Thank you so much.
Oh, good.
And
enjoy.
And, yeah, I will. And so my second comment that I was going to make was when Susan was talking on Dr. Tim's show, she said, I envy Celinda in her joy that she's feeling now. I want you to know, Susan, that the part of the reason or the impetus for that joy sparkling up was I have been listening to your work with Michael and Dr. Tim, and I want to tell you how parallel our lives are in spite of the differences in the experiences, how parallel they are and how much that your courage in sharing this has helped me to grow in Christ.
Sweet. Well, I'm sure Susan will receive that with an open heart.
And we're leapfrogging over each other. That's the picture I have in my mind. We're playing leapfrog with each other.
Actually, this weekend, and as you bring that thought forward, this weekend, the morning after the memorial service of my friend Joel, I had a little cabin there, and I got into doing some reading, and I actually started working on a new book, which is going to be titled Love Restored. I didn't get my brain around the exact title. The subtitle. Love Restored would be the title, and the subtitle is Breadcrumbs for Walking Each Other Home.
Oh, I love it.
That was one of my favorite fairy tales.
So it's going to be just thoughts that we can meditate, center, focus on from the whole range of the work, the physical, the mental, emotional. So I started that book a couple of mornings ago, and so leapfrogging is another good title. fits very well, because that's what we're doing. We're, you know, it takes a community. Nobody does this on their own. Nobody.
That's right. And I am really becoming aware of that in a most profound way. And I wanted to also share with you one other thought that just popped into my mind, and that is that I have been thinking about the middle path and what freedom is about for me. And freedom is about not excluding anything. And I realized that what I'm realizing that for me, I have to walk that middle path. In other words, I am in observational mode when I'm out of judgment and I'm out of survival of the rainbow of life, and that it's this and that. It's not this or that. And so, like, just in every area, I was talking to my son about holding somebody accountable. And he thinks, well, you got to hold people accountable. And I was thinking, well, how do you hold them accountable? And so we kind of got into a slightly either-or perception. And then I realized the other evening, I said, we hold other people accountable, but we can't make them accountable, because making them accountable is their work. But our work is...
Absolutely.
So it's this and that. Yes, we hold them accountable, and no, we cannot make them hold themselves accountable. And so both of those have to be understood, because if I'm going to make you be accountable, I'm going to have to punish you in some way, because it's a control issue. Like you said with that judge, we set limits, we set fences of, not even fences, you know, lines of safety for us and the other. And I understand that. That's a this and that situation, because in his heart, like you mentioned, there was no fear, the judge. There was just concern and love and caring, or like he liked to say, cherishing, for both the person who is doing acts of violence or harm to self or others, that we're going to protect all of us. And I like that, because it takes me out of judgment. It allows me a little open door to get out of fear. You know, all of these things, it's helpful, very helpful. I just wanted to share that. And that's, to add to that, is in my mind, I have a friend who says God is a verb, and then you say God is a noun. And I said field and the collapse of attention, you know. So how about sharing both of those? And so for me, life is both. Life is both a verb, an energy field, and a noun. That's our world that we see. And yes, just, and I think I'm going to have to get off the phone. Somebody seems to want to talk to me. Okay?
Okay. All right, well, hold the space,
okay,
young lady.
You.
All right, blessings.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we have another hand, and I believe this is our friend from down under or up over, whichever. Hey, Bob, welcome.
Hey, good day, folks. Good day, family.
Oh, we haven't heard your accent in a while. Welcome.
yeah. Well, I've been kind of busy. I turned 70 this year, which is amazing.
Congratulations.
When I was the lead singer in a rock band in my teenage years, I never thought I'd make 30. So.
Some pretty rough days, eh?
But
there's an interesting interview There's an interesting interview on YouTube with the Eagles. You might, if you haven't watched it, you might find it interesting because they express some of the same things. And the one guy who was the big druggie in the Eagles, I don't remember his name, but he's obviously mentally compromised now, but still, you know, just smiling, having a good time. But they go into a lot of stories about some of the crazy times they had in their early days.
Well, I've got some great news to share.
Tell us.
Yeah. As you're probably aware, my mission in life is to eradicate suicide through the gift of depression. And I've just been listed as a counseling practitioner on the PHA website, which is the People's Health Alliance website. So it's
congratulations,
like, you know,
to the world.
That's like giving me credibility. And I'll just read out the description on the page.
Yes.
Yeah. It's from my own journey with depression, which began in 1984, I've developed a drug-free protocol for recovering from depression based on the reevaluation counseling process in which I trained in the 90s. I found a way through by going within and listening to my heart and my body. No special tools or books are required. There is nothing to buy, for everyone has their own innate healing tools, and my role is to help people find them. And then all my videos on the gift of depression are available free on my YouTube channel. And it's like my life is starting over again, you know, like...
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm becoming real grown up. It only took 70 years.
Well, that's awesome. And thank you for sharing your life with us. You know, you've shared so many hours with us over the years already, and even though we haven't met face-to-face and likely never will, but, you know, that's just awesome.
We can always make
it. Holding you in our hearts. Yeah. I'd be up for that.
Yeah, that'd be nice to have a chat over Zoom. I'll post my email
Maybe put your email address in the chat, and Gene will have it, and we'll set one up. That'd be cool.
Yeah, we'll do. I'm just so excited because, like, it's like I've got all my little ducks in a row, you know. Like, when I was into music, I could never write a song, but since I stopped singing, I can't stop writing. I've written three books.
awesome.
This year. Yeah. So I just really feel that I found my life's purpose, and that it just makes me passionate about everything. So it's great. Yeah, we'll set up a Zoom and speak to you soon. Lots of love.
All right. Blessings. Glad to hear from you, and glad to hear that that's open for you. What an awesome purpose. We join you in it, support you in it. All right. Well, Miss Janie, young lady.
Yeah, and I'm also putting the link he sent me in the chat room to the People's Health Alliance, to the link where we can find that. So I'm going to put that in the notes for today as well.
Sweet.
So, yay. But today has been just full of your calls, and we love that. So we don't have another hand up, so if you want to press one, you're next in line.
Let's go for it.
And we have a hand go up. We actually had two hands go up, but the first one is 770. I believe this is Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Jeannie. Hello, Michael. How are you today?
Welcome, good sir. We're rocking along. How about you?
Rocking along. I like that. Share that with you. That, very nice. Very nice.
So what's on your mind today?
That's something interesting I wanted to share with you and everyone today. I get several news reports on email, and I opened one up very early this morning, and it was a quote by a man I had not ever heard of before, and that's not that unusual for me, but that's he's in your field, so I thought I would just call and share it. It touched me, and may I share it?
Go for it.
Okay.
Who is it? What's he got
to
say?
This man is Roberto Assagioli.
Assagioli, yeah, he's a psychologist.
Assagioli.
Italian psychologist. I'm familiar with him.
Yes, yep. Isn't that amazing how the universe lines things up? And I looked into his history a little bit because, of course, I've never heard of him. He was born in 1888. What an interesting year, 1888, and he left us on this realm in 1974. And he has many, many quotes, but this one was the one that I saw in the newsfeed. And it said, without forgiveness, life is governed by an endless cycle of resentment and retaliation. And that hit me. And with everything I'm learning with y'all's work, and I just look at the world today, and yes, that's what we see, isn't it?
Perhaps you could text that to me if you would. And, you know, what you trigger for me with that quote is the speaking in the ancient teachings from the Creator to humans, informing us and remembering that the word sin is an archery term that simply means off the mark, where the Creator is speaking to humans, and this shows up more than once in the ancient scriptures. It says, the sins of the fathers will be passed, yea, unto 3 and 4 generations of those who hate me. So here's the Creator saying, and in Aramaic, the word there that's been translated by the Greeks as hate is not hate of the Creator, but rather separation from. The sins of the fathers will be passed, yea, unto 3 and 4 generations of those who are divorced from, separated from the active presence of love that is the Creator. And, you know, Assagioli just decodes that so perfectly because it is an endless cycle until someone is able to bring in the active presence of love, which is where the healing occurs. Forgiveness can't occur until that happens. And so the person who's separated from love, who's divorced from love, divorced from their own true nature, has no advisor to go to but the generational patterns that are within the genes. That's what's going to create the inclinations to behavior. And if the inclination to behavior is based in hostility or fear, it's just going to reinforce and go from generation to generation to generation. And he's right on. It's the endless cycle.
It was really timely and moving. And as you have mentioned several times in just my short time with y'all, we have that opportunity to break that cycle. So
exactly.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
And breaking away from a family system that the others in the family have no comprehension of what you're doing there. And I'm relating this from myself. When I first started to do this work, I've been in the business world. I had 3 businesses. I had 60 employees, and I had a penthouse apartment in 1 major city. I had homes in 2 other cities. And I had been engaged in this work at that time for about 6 years. And I woke up one morning with the guidance to walk away from the business world, go back to school, and do this work full time. And that was my impetus. And my family thought I was crazy. Are you nuts? Especially after one of them, I was in Detroit doing some work for some veterans in Detroit, and I was presenting a workshop, and my sister and my brother-in-law were coming through Detroit on their way back from Florida, back to Canada. And I had invited them to stop by, so they stopped by and sat in on my workshop for a little while. I don't remember how long now. But the scuttlebutt that came out of it was, oh, my God, Michael's gone off the deep end. He's doing workshops where he's talking about God. that was the take, you know, like I'd gone off the rails or something. And, it's interesting, the son and one of the daughters of that particular couple have sent their children to Heartland for healing from some of the family insanity. So, in fact, several family members have referred and had, you know, ill children or grandchildren come to this work because they didn't know what else to do. But the initial reaction was, he's gone off the rails. He gave up. He's worked all those years in those businesses and all that money. And, you know, I had a Mark III on one side of my driveway. I had an Eldorado on the other side of my driveway. I was single. And they're like, he's thrown it all away and he's lost it. I'll tell you, I didn't have anything back then. I got it all now.
Wow, that's right. That's right. Well, you were keeping Detroit evenly happy with the Eldorado on one side and the Mark on the other. You weren't picking sides in Detroit, huh?
Okay.
Just a little side note there. Just a little side.
All right. Yeah, that's true.
But beautiful. I have a somewhat, I don't know if I ever shared it, it may be another time, but somewhat similar, but not quite as massive experience in midlife change, and just so happy for it, and here we are. So yes, yeah, this is so, it was so timely last week with the help that you gave me on the calls and explaining to us how we can affect the past and the future. And for those that may be listening that remember my asking you last week about the suggestions for my family meeting on Sunday.
Right.
You know, all in all, it went fairly well, and I had opportunity in the few days before that to practice some of the tools. Now, I know I didn't do them to their full potential, but I attempted. I got in it and tried, and I believe that it made a difference. It made a difference. So.
And like every other skill set, it takes time to, you know, move through them, to process through, and to really integrate those skills, especially when the genetic inclination is to go in the other direction. It's actually been referred to in the ancient scriptures, are referred to as the Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon isn't about something happening out there in the Middle East. It's about this battle in this tissue structure where carbon-based memory has one side of ideas, being has another, and the battle that they do. And the battleground, especially if carbon-based memory is winning, means destruction. Armageddon means destruction of physiology.
Wow. Powerful.
It's interesting in the context of what you're bringing up and then what Bob had just shared with us. And I hadn't thought of this in a long time, but that particular trip that I was on in Detroit, as I said, I was working with some vets, and there was one vet who was on the verge of suicide, and his trauma, he'd been in Vietnam, and his trauma was that, you know, they were doing drugs, and he was drugged up one night, and he's on parole. He's on guard duty, I guess, not parole, but guard duty, and an incoming enemy plane, and he shot it down. And it turned out in his drug-addled mind that he mistook one of his own, one of an American plane for an enemy flight. And his commanding officer made him clean up the bodies of his fellow soldiers and friends from him having shot down that flight. And you look at the kind of traumas such as that get embedded in genes and get played out and passed on, and the seeming hopelessness of that energy pattern where there isn't a set of tools, a mechanism for bringing active present love into the scenario, you know. mind-boggling what so many people are carrying around, and to me, why it's so important that more and more people adapt and move this work forward and passing it on.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. I see more and more of it every day as I ponder what's happening and the work that you all are doing. And so touching to hear Bob's situation. That is just wonderful. And the rate of suicide has just gone up astronomically, especially from what I understand among the younger generations. And that's our work so needed.
Yes, sir. That's why we're here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And
well,
delighted to have you on
Michael,
the team.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you all very much. Appreciate being a part, a small part. And I think I heard there's another hand, so let me bow out for now and let that continue, and we'll be on another time.
All right, sir. Appreciate you. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Many thanks. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Okay, our next caller is 727. I believe this is Patrick. Welcome.
Yay. Hello. Can you hear me?
Patrick McGann, Dr. McGann, we haven't heard your voice in a while. Welcome. Good to hear from you.
How are you?
I'm rocking. Doing well.
Did you wanna,
how about you? What's exciting in
work?
Your world?
Yeah, it works out. Maybe we return
it. Hold on just a second. I'm returning a rug at the store, and all of a sudden they come up. Anyway, I'm delayed them and get with you. There's two things. One, where are you guys going on vacation? How long for? And then two, I
we're going to Virginia Beach for a week.
All right. I love it. I love this place.
We are going to the beach. We've got a timeshare right on the beach.
Right. Oh, good, good. Congratulations.
So we're
going
to be able to easily put our feet in the sand and jump in the ocean.
And then my question is, how do you stay love present for someone while you're holding them accountable and they're extremely charged on what they've done wrong and don't want to admit it?
Well, if I've never run into that situation before, Patrick, so I wouldn't have any idea.
I thought you had a lot of practice for that. Yeah, that's one of the things I thought was, is that how many people you have made deals with you and never carried through with their end of the bargain over the years. It's just pretty amazing.
Countless. But my answer to that question would
thank
be
you.
That
hi, Dan,
if
hold on a second. I don't have a receipt.
Okay.
I have this phone that I'm on. And then after I finish this, I can show you the card. You know, put it back on the card if you can. Can you do that?
Like the physical card? Or
no, non-physical.
Are you a first member?
No. Well, think it over. I got to finish this. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, so my input would be that if you went back to the first radio show 11 years ago and you mm-hmm. listened to every show from that one to today, 5 days a week, 52 weeks of the year for 11 years, you would only hear me answer that question. There wouldn't be anything else spoken about except the answer to that question. And it's the work. It's all of the above. It's, you know, I mean, what do I do? Do I do responsibility communication? Do I choose to live the commitment? Do I just stop and breathe and reset RACMA? Do I use the codependence tool? Do I use the forgiveness process? You know, each and every tool is designed to handle that and each and every insanity that we could possibly face.
Right. All the above.
So the first order of business is, you know, yesterday's show, if you didn't listen to yesterday's show, it was really powerful. Susan, you know, called in and she had a potential trauma about to happen with her grandson. And we walked through, you know, a really practical exercise and kind of a meditation. So you might, that might be helpful to give that a listen.
You can help.
She,
Go ahead.
She came back, she was back on the show earlier and shared how impactful it was that she could approach the situation that had been, at least in appearance, was going to be quite traumatic, and she was able to just totally approach it as active present love. And that's what every tool is about, is how to do that. So
I got it.
You know, if I've got fear coming up, if I've got rage coming up, that's my worksheet to do.
Got
I have resentment, hate, you know, whatever it is. I've got work to do. And so all of the above. You remember that that happening several times at intensives, right, where I turn to the board and nice big letters,
yeah.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Every tool.
All of the above. Okay. Well, I must
Is there anything specific we can... All right. Well, hold the space, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you. Thanks for being in my
Appreciate
life so
you.
Long.
You're
all right.
Welcome. It's been great, and yeah. We'll be forever.
Yay. I'm on Thank it with you. Yep.
Bye-bye. Hey.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Patrick and I started hanging out about 50 years ago. It's amazing when I think about that. Maybe not quite that, about 45, I guess. He was a massage therapist in Atlanta and lived on Ivy Road. And I was looking for a place to live when I was heading back to school in Atlanta. And I don't remember whether I responded to an ad or what it was, but I went in this big old, almost like a plantation house on Ivy Road in North Buckhead, in North Atlanta. And Patrick and his wife were there, and he became my massage therapist. He used to cry when he thought about putting his hands into my shoulders because they were like rocks back then coming out of the business world. I didn't know any better. And we shared many, many wondrous moments, much appreciation for that young man. And, he's a man that introduced me to the Avison, which has been a life changer for me and so many people that we've worked with. So lots of reasons to appreciate Patrick. So we're down to about 8 minutes. If you're out there in listener land, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show. And if you have a question, you push 1. They'll raise a hand in the control panel, and Jeannie will introduce you by your area code. So how can we support you? What's on your mind? By the way, Bob, once again, seeing as I are there, thank you for that quote from Charlie Chaplin about how power is only needed to do harm. And the fact that love is all it's needed for someone who's choosing to live a human life. Thank you, Charlie Chaplin, for that thought. And thank you, Bob, for introducing it to us. So, Miss Jeannie?
It is all quiet. We have 6 minutes. We've got time to do a quick question. Somebody press 1.
Sounds like the rain's starting to pour. We've just had the most awesome August here. It's been down in the 60s, mid-60s at night, and up. We've had a few hot days, but it's basically been 75 to 85, been beautiful. We've had abundant sunshine. We've hardly had to water gardens because the rain's been generous. Like literally 5, 6, 7 days in a row. Today we've got rain again. Last night we got a good thunderstorm, so the gardens have been well watered. So if you're out there listening, how can we support you? What's on your mind?
And we have a hand up.
Oh, okay. Let's go for it.
28. I believe it's Magda. You're on the air.
Hello, everyone. Yes, it's Magda. I'm just calling to wish you all a wonderful week. I mean, I know I'll speak with you tonight at our meeting, but I'm just feeling so much joy about everything I've heard today from all these different callers and the results that they are having with doing their work. And so I'm feeling a lot of gratitude, and I just wanted to tell you, have a wonderful time. You so deserve having time to yourself and with each other, so that's cool. And then I also wanted to let you know that Chuck has a birthday on the 21st as well. He'll be a little bit older.
I wish we
he'll
were there
around
to
the
eat
sun a few
at,
more times than Aria.
Place we always go when we're there, and it's his birthday, and we go eat at the college.
Yeah,
the college, Ozark.
Yeah, I wish we were going to be there.
Close to the Ozark.
We haven't been there forever and ever because, you know, it's been closed and all of that. So this will be the first time for us in a long, long time. And, yeah, that's always been such a wonderful tradition. So we'll think of you, I'm sure, on Sunday.
Well, I'm glad you're fulfilling that tradition. Have a bite of their wondrous food for us.
Shall do. Yes, indeed. And
we'll celebrate from Virginia Beach.
That is super. I love it.
Cool.
Enjoy. I'm glad your weather's been fantastic. Ours has been a little less than what we would have desired. It's getting better now. It's cooling down a little.
Sweet. Awesome.
Yeah. And
all right. Well, much
even
appreciation. Enjoy dinner.
Well, thank you. And we're going to get some rain, too. Okay. I'm signing off.
Good.
And blessings.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying thank you. And I'm going to close. I got there was a post on Facebook, which I just posted on my friend Joel's site. You know, on Saturday, there was a celebration of his life. He had passed away a month before, and I'd had the privilege of going down and spending the last couple of nights of his life with him in the hospital. And then I videoed most of the the only person who spoke and didn't get videoed was me, as different friends and relatives and such shared at his memorial and shared, you know, some pain and some trauma and a tremendous amount of respect and support and holding the space of love for Joel as he goes on his journey. One of Joel's songs was called Spirit Am I, and so I posted along with this, and I'm going to have to read it fairly quickly. I'll just read it right into the end. It's called You're the Ghost. There's a part of the grieving process where your soul kind of leaves your body as well, as though it's off searching for the one you lost somewhere in the ether. You walk around doing all the right things, putting one foot in front of the other, living, but it's really as though you're the ghost. Perhaps you are. Perhaps your soul searches until you find the one you miss, and then they tell you to go back and live. So when the numbness passes, brave one, maybe it's time to do what you are told, go back and live twice as hard. You don't begin there in the ether. Pardon me, you don't belong there in the ether. Nor do you need to search for the one you lost. They find you. And when they do, you feel it. At the best year yet of your eternal life, it's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.